Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We desire you. We declare our need of you today to be our teacher, to give us understanding. And we ask that you come and minister to us each. So we dedicate this time. We cut off every scheme of the enemy. We forbid every lying and deceiving spirit to have any interference. We say, Lord, fill this place with your holy presence. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Can anyone remember what I spoke to you about last time I spoke? Yes, Philip, see, I gave you the clue. Can you remember? It was about remember. Anyway, I concluded that message with some suggestions, but the last scripture I was talking about what Jesus said, and he was using the story of the wise and foolish man. He said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Remember? It's a Sunday school lesson. And he said, those who hear these words of mine and don't put them into practice are like the foolish man. And then he used the illustration, the houses are basically our life. You either have obedience to God and build on a solid foundation. It doesn't say in anywhere that the storms won't come, but actually did say the storms came and beat on that house. But it stood. But the same storm that hit upon the house collapsed because it was built on sand. Okay, today we're going to talk about listen here. And do. Now, I just want to introduce this scripture because we're going to talk about it in a minute. Obviously, New Testament, people come to Jesus. And when they come to him, they say, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Now, we're going to come back to this because it's very interesting when we look at it in a little bit more depth. But this is what James had to say. Do not merely listen to the word. Okay, so everyone here today, you got the opportunity to listen. But there's a potential for you to deceive yourself also, according to James, if you don't do what it says. Is that pretty clear? I put it in bold, you know, underlined. So just keep that in tension also. Okay, what does that look? Come on now, that happened last time. Oh, Lord. 1 minute. See, this is what happens to technology. Confuses you. It was working. There's noise all the time. There's voices all the time. And where we're going with this is James made a comment with regard to everyone potentially listens, but everyone doesn't necessarily hear. And so we're going to just drill into this a little bit. Oh, thank you. Exodus 14. Now let's just think of the context. God has brought the children of Israel out of physical bondage. See, you've got to remember that all these journeys that they were on, God was leading them. So he actually brings them to this place where they're stuck up against the sea and the army of Pharaoh's behind them. And what starts happening? Panic, complaining, God, why did you do this? And God speaks. So Moses is a little bit concerned too, because there's 2 million of these dudes are not happy with him. You know, it's a bit of an awkward situation. But Moses was always crying out to God, you know. The first thing he does is rebukes him. Now, you need, I hope you, some of you know the story a bit. You remember he had a rod? And remember when he didn't want to go to Egypt? Please. Yes. So what did God make that rod do? Okay. So Moses has already seen that this rod isn't just a piece of stick, right? There's something special about this piece of stick. And so God says to him, Moses, hit the water with the stick. It's magic. See, Moses, he's holding his stick. God, help! And open up. I was reading during the week some scientists trying to explain this. You know, apparently Moses had a tide chart and he knew exactly when this massive flow tide was going to be, and he positioned 2 million people right at the sea at the moment when it was low tide. They didn't explain how they walked over in dry ground though, and how he just managed to get 2 million people through there before all the water came back down and killed all the enemy. No explanation for that, no. And someone else thought it was a big, strong wind that blew. Oh, what about this story? Recognize that one? Look, same journey. People complaining. We don't have any water. What does Moses do? Cries out to God. Holding his stick. God, there's no water. Moses, hit the rock for goodness sake. Water comes out. Amazing. I don't know if you can recognize that one. Anyone got a guess what that is? Manna. Okay, so the other ones were singular event miracles, right? What about this one? I didn't do the calcs, but 365 days by 40 years is an awful lot of miracles every day. All they had to do, go outside the tent, pick up the food, eat it. Miracle. Is it a miracle or not? Joshua. There's a point in all this. So now Moses is gone. Joshua's now in charge of these people. But it's a different group of people now, isn't it? Because why? Why is it a different group of people? Because God killed all the others in the wilderness. Why? We'll look at it a bit later, because there's some warnings here that come in the New Testament as well. So, the Lord gave very specific instructions to Joshua to tell the people what to do. Have you tried to put yourself into this position? Okay, Moses, what's our battle plan for today? Oh, we're going out, we're going to walk around the city. Yeah. Then what? Well, the next day we're going to walk around the city again. Yeah. Wouldn't you think this would be getting a bit after 6 days? Moses, what's the battle plan? Oh, we're going to walk around the city again. Yeah, him too. So the seventh day, what does he say? What are we going to do, Joshua? Ah, today we're going to walk around it 7 times. I don't think this plan is working. And if it hasn't worked 6 days. But this is what Joshua had told them. He commanded the people, Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. Why? Because, you know, I just know that most of the people wouldn't have thought this was a very good battle plan. What's Moses doing? Yes. Joshua. What's he doing? I don't think he really has a plan. He's just wandering around here hoping God's going to do something eventually. I don't really know that this is going to happen. Jericho is locked up. It's got giant walls. Okay, enough of that. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. After what? After they did what God said. They listened, but it wasn't just the noise they heard. They heard instruction, and then they put it into practice. So let's go back to this passage of Scripture. The people wanted a sign. Hadn't they had centuries of signs? The fact was, in the wilderness, there were miracles every day. See, the sign, the seeing, did not create faith in them. It did not create belief. Today, you often hear people say, oh, I wish we saw signs and wonders. Well, what were they looking for? This is the Strong's definition. But basically, they were looking for something supernatural, so they said that they could believe. So it wasn't enough for Jesus to say something. They wanted a miracle sign to prove. Now, we're going to go back to the start of this chapter. So that verse is from John 6:30. This is John 6:2. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Now we know all through the Gospels it says Jesus healed all who came to him. So again, every day basically Jesus is performing miracles in their sight. He's healing the sick, he's casting out demons, he's performing miracles, blind eyes being opened, lame people walking and leaping. And so it attracted a crowd and they followed him. I hope you can recognize what that is. So they followed him and there's a massive crowd gathered, 5,000, big congregation that morning. I hope you all know the story. Five small barley loaves and two small fish. Jesus feeds them. John 6:14. So this is immediately after he's fed them, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. So they'd gathered because they saw miracles. Now they're saying, this is possibly, you know, the great prophet, because they saw a miracle. It's misbehaving. What did Jesus say to them? I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Ooh. What is this telling us? See, people are predominantly interested in their flesh. They'd seen the signs. These things are back to back. Healings, miraculous feeding. So they keep following him, but not for the right reasons. So see, all these verses precede them saying, show us a sign. What were they looking for? What more could Jesus do? He healed all. So if every one of you was sick and you came, excuse me, and you came to Jesus that day, everyone would have been healed. But they didn't believe. So the point is, seeing does not make you believe. And the scripture actually tells us faith comes by hearing. It doesn't tell you anywhere in scripture, it comes by seeing. And not only that, it tells you what to hear, hearing the word of God. So you sit here every Sunday, or maybe you read your devotions every night, or whatever it is you do with your spiritual life. You might listen to Daily Audio Bible, listen to preachers, but are you actually believing anything? Are you actually hearing it? Is it going past just the listening? Now, I'm just going to introduce another little component here, because we just said faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So this could be a little litmus test, this one. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Bit of a challenge, that one, isn't it? Has everyone here got an opinion? Do you like to express that opinion? You know, you're just having a discussion with people and they say something and... yeah, I want to put my opinion in. But is it the word of God or is it just an opinion? But let's go to the New Testament. What did James say? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But see, you've got to join these two things up, because listening and hearing, you're going to hear a lot of other people speaking, aren't you? Oh, thank you very much. Great. Thank you. It's a big challenge, keeping our mouth closed. But then we add this in. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Believe what? Believe what you read on the internet. Believe what your neighbor told you. Believe lots of things in this atmosphere. But see, we've already been told it's got to be based on the word of God. That's what you've got to hear. That's what you've got to believe. And if your belief system is out of whack with that, you've got a problem. So, this is the order of things. We listen, we hear, we do, we speak. You might say, well, don't you speak before you do? I don't think so. I think you've got to do, put it into practice. So what would be one of the things we could from just the last passage, if you're slow to speak, the first thing you do is slow your speaking down. Don't speak until you are measuring, is this the word of God or is this just some opinion I picked up from somewhere? Or is it an attitude I've got to Manly Seagulls? I slipped that one in for Philip, but he wasn't listening. Oh, apparently there's a... she was listening. Okay. Does anyone recognize those words? Just have a little look around. People next to you, some of them got covered by hair. But no, in church we don't look around, we look forward. Come on, I'm giving you permission to look at the person next to you, or, you know, you got ears? Well, this statement is recorded 14 times in the New Testament. And have a guess who said it. Only Jesus. He's the only one who said this. So I guess he was trying to, you know, get people to at least think, hang about, I've got ears. He's got ears. Hear what? That's the rest of the verse. I've been a pastor for a while now. And in that time, I've known many people who want a word from God. I just need a word. And what they're thinking is that one day the heavens are going to open and there's going to be a flash of lightning. And an angel's going to stand before them and say, thus saith the Lord. Oh, they can wait. And they will be. Because it may happen occasionally, but in general terms, no. That's why we have the Word of God. Little test here. I hope it's big enough. Oh, does anyone remember this song? Should we try to sing it? Anyway, particularly the second verse. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. One of the problems in this world now is there is so much technology and so much noise that you are bombarded from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed. And some people even have the bombardment going while they're asleep, filling their rooms with all sorts of things. And we're not very careful at all about what we're hearing. I go to the gym. And there's a lot of guys come in and they've got their Bluetooth headphones, you know. They come in. And the interesting thing is the gym already has music playing. I try to just focus on what I'm there for, but a few occasions I've been really disturbed by some of the music or the words. It's vile. And it's evil. And it's just being pumped out there into a public space where there's girls. And so everywhere you go now, you see people with, you know, their Bluetooths in, and I don't know what they're listening to. Some of the guys in the gym have it up so loud that I can hear it. And I'm thinking, what's that doing to their head? If I can hear it over there, 6 meters, and they've got it pumping straight into their brain, apart from damaging their hearing. So a lot of people like to have a bit of music going in the background. But I've got to say to you, a lot of words of songs now are just diabolical. So, I mean, this is just one component of life that we're faced with. But, you know, there's the news. Now, this next little illustration you probably all relate to. I spent a long time trying to find an appropriate one of these. because there's a lot of bad things on those ones as well. I'm not real happy with the look of the angel side of things, feeling a bit defeated there, but I presume you can all relate to this, that whether or not you've got other sounds, you've got the voice of your conscience and the voice of the enemy. Now, that might get a little bit confused for some people, but here's just a little bit of perhaps advice. The counsel of God by His Spirit is for life and godliness and will appeal to your spirit. For life and godliness. And when I say life, I'm talking about the betterment of your life. So if we go right back to the beginning when I was showing you those illustrations, this is important for our view of God. God delivered the people because He didn't want them to be in bondage. When He brought them to the sea, He took them through the sea. When they were thirsty, He gave them water. When they were hungry, He fed them. See, your view of God must be one that He loves you and He wants what's good for your life. Sort of one of the best illustrations I can take hold of is when my children were small and I gave them an instruction like, don't put your hand on the stove, that wasn't to spoil their fun. It was to protect, because as a father, I knew the consequence of putting your hand on a hot stove. But a lot of children and a lot of young people think it's just a matter of being a killjoy. The parents, it's to protect. You've got to remember that your parents were once young like you. We were babies once and we grew up. Some of us did. Anyway, the point is, it's for protection. It's for blessing. So when you have this debate going on and you choose to listen to the enemy, this is what he does. The counsel of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy. How do we know that? Jesus said it. If you break it down, it's very simple. Jesus said it. Did you hear it? Have you applied it? But the enemy appeals to our flesh and our soul, the thing that's more pleasing to our natural man. I don't think anyone's exempt from this, and I think it probably happens every day of your life in one way or another. Well, here's another well-known parable. The parable of the sower. What I found interesting is that if you read the story, it starts off of the four different types by saying, they heard. They all heard, but the result was different. So we've got to figure out, okay, they listened, they heard, but there's something missing, isn't there? Because there's only one produced fruit. It's interesting, if you go on the internet and do a search on this, there's all these very intricate diagrams of showing, you know, what happened with every group and trying to relate it into modern terms. Obviously, the first hard ground was basically a road. So the people weren't really even interested at all. Then there was rocky ground, hard-hearted people. Very hard for a seed to take root. The interesting thing about that was it says it sprung up, but it had no depth of root and had no moisture, so just shriveled. Thorny. Thorny, I think, can be related to most of us. Is there anyone here who doesn't have any cares in life? There's always some sort of cares. But some people allow that to choke their faith. And then there's the good ground, which retained. But this apparently is the process of the good ground. Hear the word, retain the word, and persevere. So we could say there, do. Hear the word, retain it, and then do it. Because the scripture talks about hiding these things in our hearts. If it only goes into your mind, probably by this afternoon it's gone. Sometimes at my life group, which is Sunday afternoon, after we've had morning tea and fellowship, and I say, okay, we're going to discuss the message, and it's a little bit like, oh, what was the message about? I mean, that was an hour and a half ago now. You know, did it get in or did it just go boom, boom, boom? I heard a guy once talking about the difference of preaching between impact and penetration. See, sometimes people are convicted by the message because it hits them. It sort of confronts. Oh. But that's all it does. The penetration, it goes into the heart and starts to grow. Okay. Come on. So as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Does anyone know what the next verse says? Yeah. This is the warning. Way back in the Old Testament. So as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of your testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. Anyway, very sad story. As you see in the New Testament, it's raised as an evidence. It's raised as an evidence of the danger of hearing and not taking any notice or hardening our hearts. See, no one else can really harden your heart. A lot of the stuff that happens to us in everyday life, it is our reactions, our response to those things that cause us to become hard-hearted, bitter, disappointed. It's actually a choice. Now, you would have heard me talk about these things before, but see, one of the major difficulties we have as ministers of the gospel and dealing with people is that the devil keeps to his plan because it's worked for centuries and it still works today. So very basic things can be solved if we would obey what the Word of God says. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Actually, these slides have got out of order. Sorry. here's the instruction. So, okay, here's the challenge. Can you have it as an impact or as a penetration? Is it just going to hit your forehead and bounce off and say, well, that's a bit tough? Or you're going to let it go into your heart and say, this is the word of God. Do not judge, do not condemn, forgive, and give. Now, for a moment, just let us reflect back on those early miracles we saw. So say the opening of the Red Sea. Moses cries out to God. God speaks. Moses hears. Moses acts. What happens? Can you see what I'm trying to get at here? If you follow the pattern in any of those stories, if you hear what God says and you put it into the practice of your life, then something is going to happen on the other side of it. You go and read the scriptures. I pulled out just a couple. You go and read them. But also, alongside of that, read all the stories where God told them to do something and they didn't. What I have to say to you is, whether you hear it or not, there is still an outcome. And you are determining the outcome by whether you hear it and do what God said. So if you take these, and one of the classics I've dealt with over the last 23 years is the issue of forgiveness. I know, from a spiritual perspective, if I can get someone to understand that forgiving releases them, they'll go free. But if they think it has something to do with the other person and they don't want to release them, they'll remain in bondage because it's the Word of God. It's not what I say, it's the principle. God knows how to set you free. You want to do it some other way? You've got a free will. God allowed. We'll go back to this slide, but it actually tells you what will happen. If you do not judge, you will not be judged. So if you tip it up, if you judge, what will happen? You'll be judged. If you condemn, you'll be condemned. If you don't forgive, hello, you won't be forgiven. And Jesus said that. So see, it's in our best interest. And to understand that Father God, look, what did Jesus say? It was for freedom that I set you free. Isn't that true? See, that's the heart of God. He wants you to be free, but you can't get the freedom unless you do it His way. If you want to think, well, they did that terrible thing to me and they're just no good and I'm going to make them pay. Oh, good luck. Because you're dealing with spiritual principles. You're not dealing with just your will or whatever. Okay, you've heard me bring this one to you many times before. Do not be anxious about anything. It's a big challenge. Because there's all sorts of things impact our life. But there's a promise associated with this. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do we want that transcending, undescribable, supernatural peace? There's the way you get it. This is the same passage a couple of verses later. Brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is... I've got two whatevers there. Whatever, whatever. Whatever is... true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable... if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, Paul says, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So this really focuses on the battle for our minds. Is there anyone here who didn't have a negative thought this week? Anyone who didn't get annoyed? Look, this is the reality of life. It's what happens in the atmosphere that surrounds us and the people we come in contact with. It's just the reality. But when it comes to the crunch, what am I going to think? What am I going to focus my mind on? And then what am I going to speak? Challenge. But what we have very simply is listen, hear, do, result. Whichever way you choose, you end up with a result. Okay, so this is all to do with faith and believing. Found this interesting little picture. There's a bridge there covered in cloud. But where are you going? Where do you want to go? So you probably all know exactly where you are today, more or less. A few little buffetings or whatever. But faith is what you believe. And can I say to you, what you believe will be evidenced by what you do. And Paul said, for we walk and live by faith, not by sight. So here we've come right round. The people, probably we too, we want miracles, we want to see things, but really that's not going to be the thing that really causes you to walk with God. It's believing. And so we start off believing who God is. God is the God of all creation. He is over all things. All things are subject to him. He wants good for you. Okay, so what I'd like you to do with me is say a couple of prayers. And I've written these out, and they're not prayers that I've made up. They're prayers that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And some years ago, I personalized these prayers for myself and put them on my notice board and used to pray them every day. So I would like you to stand with me and you can have a look at it first to see if you want to say it. But basically, Paul was praying for them that the Holy Spirit would give them, you know, the revelation. See, the thing about hearing is you need understanding. It's not just words. It's not just a concept. It's the understanding of that word. It's how we bring it into our hearts. So if you're willing, let's pray together. I ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know him better. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called me, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I encourage you to make those prayers your own every day, because every day we need that counsel of God. We need the Spirit to be leading and guiding us. So I invite the worship team to come back, and I'm just going to pray for you, and then we'll share fellowship. Father, we do ask that you would help us. We confess our need of you. Every one of us, Lord, there is none, Lord, here who are not in great need of your leading and guiding every day. Lord, we know that the changing of our hearts and attitudes and minds comes by that confrontation with your word that is living. And I pray, Lord, for grace for these your people. Lord, that grace that enables us to embrace your word. I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them in their inner man, that they might be able to apply this in their daily living. And Lord, whatever it is that might try to hinder, Lord, they would rise up and take hold of you, that they might indeed be filled to the glory and the splendor of your name. As you promise, Lord, that we are being changed from glory to glory, help us all, Lord. We declare our need of you. And Lord, I bless this people. Lord, I bless their homes. I bless their marriages. I bless their relationships. I bless their children. I bless their businesses and their jobs. And Lord, as we go from here, I ask your Spirit to be upon us and that you be honored and glorified in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Amen.